Hi, I'm Rod.
And I'm Yasmina, and welcome to Life Trek.
Today, we're talking about what led us to have a multicultural dinner at our house. And just to set the stage, so I grew up here in the States. I'm white, Caucasian. I later found out that I'm half Jewish. And although I have a German surname, Yasmina is.
Yeah, I'm like almost 100% Moroccan, North African, Berber. Grew up in North Africa, parts in Bermuda, but mostly Morocco. And yeah, moved here, gosh, over 20 years ago.
Yeah. So being away from your home, essentially in Morocco, has brought up some issues as far as like feeling sort of out of place, right?
For yeah.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would have if I was living in a country I didn't grow up in and all of that, or anybody would. And you were sort of being in this community where...
Yeah, where there's like no diversity
pretty white dominant. I mean... It's a growing community, and so there's like beginning, like just barely to be some.
Yeah, but not enough to where like you're in the grocery store and you see other people.
Yeah, it's still like, oh, there's somebody of a different race over there. Yeah. It's pretty white dominant.
Yeah, and I mean, we, you know, we're in this interracial marriage as well, and that brings up some of our differences and successes and challenges and as well. And so finding fellow community members and that are similar to us as well, you know, is important as well. So not only is there not a whole lot of diversity here too, but you know, a lot of times couples in those interracial marriages, you know, you don't see them a lot either. I know, again, across the US probably, but like where we live, it's not so much.
And so you always wanted to like do things to promote that a little bit and to have more, at least maybe I guess more diversity sort of in your own circle, right?
Yeah. If you're a fellow Moroccan and you have your Moroccan group, like on the East Coast, I hear there's more. My sister lives in Belgium, and they do have this really strong group of Moroccan ladies. They get together, they do ladies' night, they go to the hammam, like the hot, like a hot bath, I guess it's called.
A spa.
Like a spa. Yeah. They do henna parties, they celebrate Eid. So, you know, you have your just fellow Moroccan people that they have those shared identities because now they maybe speak the language. Or maybe they don't, but you grew up outside of Morocco. So there's just an understanding. But here, I don't really have that. So the next best thing is to be with someone from another country, another immigrant who it might be different, but they still have those similar struggles. And
they understand the feelings of being dispossessed, being out of their...
Yeah.
The country of origin and having to deal with a society that's different in some ways.
Yeah.
A lot of the cultural norms aren't the same. A lot of the holidays aren't the same.
Yeah.
A lot of the, yeah.
And if you then are an immigrant and then your spouse is an immigrant of that same country, then that's awesome. But, you know, and if you're like me, then you marry someone who's white, then it's like another layer of challenges because you have to now blend your cultures, and we also have a blended family as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes challenging. And so that's, you know, so I'm always looking for other couples who are in those interracial relationships.
Yeah. And so for quite a long time, you've had this sort of idea that you wanted to have a multicultural dinner with mixed race couples and all of that.
Yeah. And foods.
Yeah.
It's
food from
draw.
Different backgrounds. Yeah. Yeah, so we hosted a dinner at our house not too long ago.
Yeah, it was our first one. I'm hoping to do this reoccurring, but it was our first attempt to invite couples that were of interracial. None of them were Moroccan, but just of other interracial couples.
Yeah, actually, some from each several different races,
Yeah.
and but all had one thing in common, which was
We were married to white men.
Women married to white men. Yes.
That seemed a common theme, and that in itself, you know, has a similarity, you know, because then our children are also now
Mixed,
mixed,
yeah.
which is a whole nother layer of challenges. Even when I talk to my daughter about, you know, because you're never really accepted, you seem like an outsider with the white dominant group, but then in your own culture, because maybe you might not speak the language, or now you're more westernized. That, you know, has
Or
its
you're a
own.
little lighter skin,
Yeah,
or you're a
exactly.
little
Lighter skin. Yes,
yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Because when I took my daughter to Morocco, when we went to go visit family, and it was been a couple of years, and I brought her, and one of my cousins said, "Who is this?" And he did say a derogatory term for a white person, which it was like, "What? Why would you say that?" So already, you know, she stands out in my Moroccan culture. And she just doesn't feel like she fits in. So, anyways, that's a whole nother podcast. But
Right. Yeah.
yeah, for this one, anyways, go ahead. I cut
No,
you right
you're
off.
good. You're good. So we hosted a dinner with a couple of other couples, plus our kids and some of their kids were there. We before we did the dinner, we had decided to get together, I guess partly for an icebreaker, right? But also to sort of, well, go ahead.
Oh, dinner conversations. Yeah. Is that what you're currently the questions? Yeah, there were yeah, just dinner conversations just to,
Questions, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so we so spent some time,
I spent a
you spent
lot
some
of
time
time
coming up with some
online.
good questions, yeah.
No, I did not. Good questions. I spent, I don't know, I would say a good 30 minutes just surfing the web and generating, like, trying to come up with good prompt questions about interracial relationships. And I probably generated, I don't know, like maybe two good ones, if that.
Yeah. So that's this is where I, with my IT background and my interest in stuff like that, went to Chat GPT and put in a question about good questions for interracial dinner party, and it generated some amazingly good questions, which is just crazy to me. It's fascinating. But we did come up with some other questions, and you know that plus the questions you already had, and then had them at the dinner to ask some questions. So some of the questions that we came up with, actually, I don't I can start that one and ask you one of these questions.
Okay.
So, okay, here's one of the questions. How have your families responded to your relationship? And so we did this going around the table and asking each couple this, and then they could respond and kind of share their experiences and everything else. But I'll go ahead and ask you right now, how has your family responded to our relationship?
They were like, "Hell no." Well, I was afraid to share. So my first marriage was a white man.
You didn't learn your lesson.
I did not, yeah. And the second time, I was in my 30s, but I was still afraid. And I think people who are from the Middle East or North African would understand this. It doesn't matter how old you are still a child. You can be in your 30s,
To
you
your
can't.
parents.
My parents, you can't just be like, "I'm a 30-year-old woman." No, it just does not work that
And I'm
way.
an American
Oh my
citizen
God, an
now.
American
Can't tell
that
me.
exactly. They'll have the chancla come after you with the chancla. So I posted it on Facebook. Remember that I told you I posted it on Facebook just to see if
Yeah,
it
and
would
your brother
generate.
was like,
Yeah, my brother. Then
who
I mean,
lives in
purposely,
Morocco?
he lives in Morocco, and he told my parents, he's like, "Look what your daughter is up to." And then kind of broke it to my parents. And I think the second time around was easier. The first time, not so easy. But then the second time around, you know, I mean, I don't know how what they truly thought. It was like she's kind of a lost cause. Like there's no hope. I don't know. But when I did take you to Morocco, I was so nervous. Oh my gosh, I was so anxious because you do stand out.
Yeah,
And
I'm like a head taller than everybody.
yeah. And so, but my immediate family, let's say my sister, my mom's side of the family were very welcoming. And I would say my dad's side of the family, I'm not quite sure. It was, gonna leave it at that. It was
They were a little more standoffish.
And so I don't know if they were, I would say they were not 100% accepting, but the second time around that I did bring you, they seemed to welcome you even more. I'm not gonna lie and say that they asked if you would convert,
Because they did ask,
yeah, they
yes,
did
yeah.
ask. Yeah. I think the preference is that they would prefer you not to. So like here I would hear couples, and I will do this to my kids,
You
like,
would prefer I not convert?
oh no, they would prefer that I would not marry outside of my race.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You don't hear from the families, you can love whoever you want, you can marry. It's just, no, it's not the case. From a young age, it's more like they would hope to even have like an arranged marriage with someone that they,
Which they actually tried to do with you when you were young.
yeah. So I think in your case, it was more of an exception because when they did meet you and you were, I mean, because you represent all Americans. When you're there, the white person, you're like,
I'm
whatever you
Mr.
do,
America.
pretty much, yeah. And that's what happens is races, like you, when you go to some place and they stereotype you, you had to represent everybody.
And if somebody acts badly, then they're the ugly American, or they're the whatever you want to say, of whatever race. But yeah,
Yeah, so
suddenly you make them
you
look
definitely had
bad.
to represent as you got there. But I would say overall, yes, they were accepting, but the preference is to not date someone outside your race.
Yeah, and conversely, and we you and I were talking about this earlier, but the conversely, what makes it partly difficult for you here is not having that sort of cultural background and acceptance and everything else right from the get-go. Whereas for me, of course, I'm in the country of my birth, and you do pass as white, and even though you're not, and my family understands that you're not, that you're from Morocco and everything else, and that we have different religious backgrounds and everything. Kind of just they don't care. They're all good with everything. So it's not really been, in that way, not been a challenge for me, because I'm living here in the States right now, and my family is very accepting about that, or they just don't care or whatever. Where you don't have that, you don't have that similar. You do now more from your family, more of that support, as you said last time we were there. To me, they were great.
Because they don't have to change anything about them, and that's the challenges. That's the dominant group. Like you're coming into their home. They whether the traditions, like I don't ask. There's nothing to be expected of them to change. So it doesn't interfere with their beliefs or their traditions. So like yeah, we're cool with it because it doesn't. They don't. They're not forced to change how they do things. They still continue to celebrate their traditions. Nothing is expected of them.
Yeah, and actually we're going to talk about traditions and holidays and whatnot here in just a minute.
Yeah, so,
But before we get to that, let's take a quick break. Okay, back from our break. So I asked you a question from our dinner party, and now you're going to ask me a question, right?
I am, yes. So, what advice do you have for other interracial couples or those considering interracial relationships? I'm going to add this one as a white man.
And I really haven't thought about this before. So, for me, because again, as you said, I'm the dominant group. I'm living in the home of my birth and all of that. So for me, it's more about how I include your traditions, make you feel as much at home while you're not in your original home as possible. And be considerate of where you are and what you're dealing with it, because you are dispossessed from your home. You're in a new place with without the cultural support, without the the family members here, although we did move your parents here now. And that's probably makes it a little
Yeah, it
better.
does for sure.
But it's still not, where you grew up and with all the other, I mean, you grew up with, I don't even know how many cousins you
Yeah,
had.
just tons of cousins and families and traditions. Traditions that go back for so, and then to just do it, make couscous, it's not like it's not from a box.
Yeah, couscous that actually takes days to make and all of that. Yeah. So for me, for instance, when you said you wanted to go to Morocco the first time that we went, and you were asking me, do I want to go? Absolutely, I want to go. Like, the idea of not going with you to support you and all of that would be terrible to me. And I want to see all the things that make up who you are, right? The place you grew up, the family members that you lived with, like all of that. Like, I really am interested. And when we do things like holidays, we have our holidays, and all of our kids do Christmas. All of our kids do, all of that stuff, because they all grew up here. But I had asked you at one point, like, what's important to you? And, for a while there, it was Mother's Day, but also you wanted to celebrate Eid and all of that. And so we've had Eid dinners, both here at our house and at, where your parents are and our other place, and they're. I'm sure they're nowhere near comparing to what you grew up
Yeah.
with. But it's what we can do.
Yeah, and I think that is just, I was married to a white person before, and they never visited Morocco. They never, I remember it was Eid one time, and I was flabbergasted that they didn't want to spend Eid with us. And so I had asked, I guess they had asked, what do you do? And the kids were still little, and I would say, just for the kids, you'd buy little things here and there, but it was the dinner and all of that. And he had just left, had some presents on the table and left a note, and it was, like Happy Eid or something. And then he basically was gone. And I was saying, imagine me for Christmas, I decided to just leave a note, because here people are like, it's Christmas. Like, you need to drop everything that you're doing and celebrate it. Because again, it's this dominant holiday and thinking that everybody on the planet celebrates Christmas. So it, kind of goes both ways. When Eid comes around, we don't, at work and be like, Eid Mubarak. I don't go to the grocery store and be like, Eid Mubarak. I probably should. But during Christmas time, everyone's like, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, And so at times you do feel like, I mean, I know this is like, again, it's a dominant holiday here, but it does feel like it's just shoved in your face. Like, this is the only holiday on the whole planet Earth. And so you do then feel like, this for so long, this holiday that just again shaped who you are is gone. It's like poof. It doesn't even exist. And so then how do you kind of, create this new identity? And you do, you do ask me, like, you wrote in Arabic, you wrote Eid Mubarak on in Arabic, and people are like, who wrote this? They're like, Rod wrote that, or Rod. and making the dinners and just serving tea to people, that meant a lot to me. Like, I don't expect someone to know everything. I don't even know much about my culture, but you were just so willing to host people and visit Morocco. And
But that's the thing too, is that we're a team. Like, I can't profess to love you and then not support you in the things that make up who you are, and try to do the things that I think are going to make you happy or make you feel at home or all of those other kinds of things. Like, if you love your spouse, that's what you should do, right? In order to, keep them happy, to give them a sense of belonging and all of that. So yeah, I mean, for me at least, that's sort of my drive when I think about anything that is culturally related for you, is I want to support you, however you need it to be supported. And I don't always know that. Like I don't necessarily, I don't, I didn't know really anything about Mubarak and all of that. So I have to ask questions, or you have to be willing to, also share some things that I might not even know to ask, so that I can better support you.
Yeah,
And then
Google.
that too, yeah. And then once I do, then I need to act, right?
Yeah, like Ramadan, we've done obviously Ramadan and the fasting and breaking the fast. And, I just have such great memories. Just again, just like how Christmas time or Thanksgiving or Easter and those holidays are so special to us. It's part of our childhood and all those memories, and you do want to recreate those. But then how do you recreate them, now when you're married? And I would imagine those are different even if you are of the same race, because maybe growing up, you didn't, maybe you had a huge Christmas event, and your other spouse didn't. And so I think that there's always these layers that you don't really take into account when you get married. And then we have a blended family, which is another, can be a challenge as well, but
Well, even from my, so we were both previously married. So even from my first marriage, one of the questions I remember that came up from somebody who was giving advice was to ask each other what holidays are important to you, because I was surprised when I found out that Memorial Day, or excuse me, Labor Day was really important to her, to my ex, right? And I was like, why Labor Day? What? Like it. That was never important in my family. And so, yeah, even within the same sort of cultural, background and race and all of that, there still can be differences. And if I was willing to support that, of course I'm going to be willing to support yours, even though they're quite a bit different than mine. And what a great amount of, I don't know, cool factor, is in finding out about those kinds of things. Like, celebrating with you, and of course all the food was amazing, and then when we celebrated with your brother and everybody in Morocco,
yeah, we did Eid there. That was the first time that I celebrate as an adult that we did, because there's two Eids. There's after Ramadan, and then the summer. They had sacrificed a cow. So the cow was like a small cow. So they call
Calf.
it a calf. And then just the meat and all of that, and all that celebration. But you talked in the beginning of the podcast saying about your background, finding out you were Jew. Or Jewish, you're Jewish, and then doing Hanukkah, and like that's something that, I don't know if I'm even comfortable in sharing even with my parents, because people can be so closed-minded, and but I'm so welcoming of all races and religion and celebration. So we do Hanukkah, so we have a whole mixture
I know.
of
I didn't
like.
even find about that until I was in my 30s, and then I find out that, oh, I'm half Jewish, and I have this whole side of my family I didn't know before then. And now, yeah, we go to Hanukkah and we do Eid and we do Christmas and we.
Yeah. And people might say like that is confusing for your children, or it can be confusing, and maybe it is. But I see it as that you are, you have this opportunity to see how people celebrate, because that's always fun to go to that event and learn about what they do, the latkes, right? Latkes.
Well, and I don't think that it is necessarily. It depends on how you present it, right? Like when kids are adopted and they find out when they're 18 years old that they're adopted, and then they're shocked, of course, and it's weird, and like, they question their whole identity. But if they always knew that, from the time that they could remember that they were adopted and they have these parents that love them anyway and have raised them and that's mom and that's dad, then it's not shocking. It's not weird. And with our kids, it was just a natural part of what we were doing for each other. It was something we get to do. It was a celebration and everybody's happy at those events. It's fun to go and do latkes at Hanukkah. It's nice to have a big gathering and music and food at Eid, and it's Christmas is fun for all of its own reasons and food and presents. And, so it's only weird, I think, for kids if you make it, you know. If it,
and it's such a great opportunity to showcase, you know, how people celebrate their culture, you know, and to be accepting of other people regardless of their race, of their skin color, of, you know, their religion.
Yeah.
That's definitely been my goal. And growing up, I feel like I had a little bit of that going to a blended, I went to a blended school, in an international school, and I had friends from just all over the world. So to me, that seemed just natural to have friends from Sudan and Wales and or Saudi Arabia, just from all over. Mm-hmm. Versus here, you know, it's just, again, it's because of the city or the town that we live in. There's just not a whole lot of diversity. So I feel like this sometimes, like the walls closing in, because I'm craving that interaction with people. And so that, yeah, so that's what led to that multicultural dinner. And also to not focus on the negativity aspect of it. And, you know, if you see a problem, then you find a solution. You know, there's got to be someone else in your town, in your city, somewhere that maybe you can connect with, and reaching out to them. And that's kind of what I've learned, is just that you recognize the problem and, you know, like, well, what can you do about that? What are some of the things that you can bring people together who might be experiencing that same challenge?
Mm-hmm. Just start something.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you did with the dinner.
Yeah, and so we have other questions on here. Obviously, there's a lot more questions in depth, and we never even got to all of them, even at the dinner, because we, again, there was just between all the kids, and it just...
Yeah, but it generated some good discussion.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we started easy. I think the first question was just, how did you two meet and fall in love? And that's always kind of fun to ask any couple.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we got, you know, a little more into it with some of the other questions. And it just, it took time to go around the room. And so no way we could get through all questions that we had. But we hope to share some of these online after we posted this podcast, and we'll put it on our Instagram page and all of that. And maybe you can use some of those to ask your own questions as you're talking with your spouse or with friends who are in multicultural, diverse relationships. And all.
When you post those, I'm just curious to hear what other people's challenges are, or maybe some of their successes, some of their traditions. And I mean, this is something I wish I kind of tapped into years ago when the kids were little, because, you know, I just looked around my community and was trying to pick up, like, you know, even Christmas, like, what do people do for Christmas? You know, like, and I'm going to just pick and choose, because you create your own traditions with your own mm-hmm. family. But I wish I had tapped into that when the kids were younger and included, you know, more maybe storybooks about, you know, my culture,
yeah.
and teaching my kids at a younger age. But it's never too late. We're doing it now, and we have lots of discussions, especially with my daughter. So, yeah, I'm curious to hear more feedback on, like, so just some of the questions and responses from people.
So it looks like we're out of time, but thank you for joining us. We hope you got something out of this talk. Leave us a note or drop us a message on our Instagram page at instagram.com/alifetrek, all one word. You can find us on anchor.fm/lifetrek, or search for Life Trek on Spotify, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, or Breaker.